I am delighted to say that hot-footed, she has arrived into the studio, Martina Doyle from The Hub. Martina, you're very welcome.
Thank you, Tony.
We spoke to you early last year, Martina, and you were, to put it mildly, in the height of it with your indignation at the banks and the banking sector, because repossessions were really starting to bite and kick in at that stage. I read, I see, and I believe, Martina, that far from slowing down, they're increasing.
They're increasing, yeah. But on a positive side, I think that there's a bit of an awakening taking place at the moment. There's a programme on tonight that I hope everybody in the country will watch on RTE at 9:35, and it's really all about what we have been campaigning over the last 2 years about, and that is the arrival of vulture funds into the country and the way that, you know, an awful lot of our assets and loans were sold off to foreign investors who really just want to make money and move on. So it's becoming blatantly obvious now that people never really mattered, and there has been an awful lot of devastation of family life, social life, all sorts of things, because of the inaction, in my opinion, of the government in, you know, tackling. They actually allowed them in. You've heard of the Section 110. They were facilitated.
I think far from allowing them, they actually welcomed them in with open arms.
Open arms. Well, I mean, if anybody is listening and they're in mortgage distress now, and they think back to the time when all this started, had they been offered their mortgage back at 19 cents in the euro, we wouldn't be having this conversation today. There wouldn't have been the amount of suicides, relationship breakups, homelessness caused by mortgage distress that we are seeing today. So, you know, it's kind of all becoming very clear now, but the problem is, what do we do next? Are we going to sit back and accept that that's just the way it is?
Martina, can I just stop you there and just ask you this question? And with all due respects, and I mean, the Hub and other organisations have done unbelievable work, and indeed some avenues of publicity have been shut down to you, which I know of. We here at Near FM are not one that has been shut down to you.
Yeah.
Is it too late? Is the damage done at this stage? I mean, looking at what I'm looking at, the amount of damage that they can do is limited at this stage. They have done practically everything they can do. And I think it's something which, for those, and I would recommend people to watch that documentary. It's done by the Prime Time Investigates team with the, I think it's actually been presented by the business editor of the
Sunday Business Post.
Sunday Business
Correct.
Post. He actually is presenting the programme.
That's right.
But I think that the way these vulture funds operate is they target a country when it's on its uppers, for want of a better word, Martina.
Yeah.
They move in, they take everything that they want, and they're gone.
That's correct.
Are these vulture funds actually on the brink of leaving Ireland now, because they've got everything they want?
Well, that's debatable, because the legislation dictates that they haven't got everything that they want. And our argument has always been about these eviction courts, we call them. And these were especially set up because they found that, you know, going through the High Court was virtually impossible to get a repossession of a family home. So these courts facilitated a fast-tracking system. And
again, Martina, just to stop you there, am I right in thinking that the vast majority of these courts are presided over by a court clerk as opposed to a judge?
They are presided over by a county registrar.
And this is the pertinent question, and I'm asking out of a position of ignorance. Has the powers of a judge been invested in a county registrar?
There is. A county registrar can have the case sent to a circuit court judge. The problem that you have in this country is that people do not know the law, and you can't blame people for that, because most people...
Well, in all honesty, they're not supposed to.
They're not supposed to. And, like, we don't have the facility for... People will talk about free legal aid. It exists. But it's extremely hard to get. And even if you do get it, I cannot find any figures or statistics for how many homes that they have saved. This is the problem. really, as a country, we're extremely bad at fighting our corner. I mean, when you think of Ulster funds, it's a bit like if I came to you, Tony, and said, you know that car you're buying from Ford up the road there? Well, they're gone now and you've to give me the money for it. Would you hand the money over to me?
I'd be very slow to do it for the very simple reason, Martina, that I would argue until the cows come home, probably to my detriment, that I have entered into no legal agreement.
Absolutely.
With you.
Absolutely. But you see, when you're being brought before a court then, that puts it into a different sphere, and you believe the court system and you believe the government system and you believe all these things. So a lot of people were kind of cajoled into this. You've heard of the term constructive dismissal, right? Well, if you take out the job side of that and put in a contract side of that, these were constructive contracts and they were aided and abetted, in my personal view, by the system that we live in. So people were getting letters from, you know, unknown entities that we now know are not even regulated in many cases, and some of them are actually charitable trusts. They're really just asset management companies, and people believed that they owed the debt to them, and they were enticed into believing it because the court system was bringing them in as well. So I mean, most people, anyone who's ever come to the doors of the Hub, when I say has, you know, sold the family silver to try and pay these mortgages, and then they just find themselves in court, and when they get into court they're still told your house is being repossessed. Half the time they don't even know what they're paying. They're paying so much a month, they think they're paying their mortgage, they're paying interest, and the arrears are shooting up on the other side. It's a mass big mess of total blind fear, ignorance, and, you know,
yeah, well,
trauma.
From now, when I spent the guts of a full afternoon almost in with you in the Hub there earlier last year, and from what I can glean from it, and it's something that I have been following very closely here on Northside Today, and I mean, I've interviewed Brother Kevin, whom I'm sure you know well, and in fact coming up at 12:30 today, Francis Doherty from the Peter MacFerry Trust, whom I'm sure you know as well. But to understand, for the normal lay person, and I'm not being derogatory when I express that phrase, you would need to be an economist combined with a barrister to understand the intricacies of this procedure.
Yeah. And then couple that with the mental anguish, couple that with the rising cost of living, couple that with you have children in school, they need books, they need, you know, all this kind of stuff. Couple all that into the pot and you have this absolute
And we
fear.
Are just after having Christmas, so I mean, throw that into the equation.
And then it's winter, people have bills. One thing that we have discovered since I talked to you last, well, we've not discovered it, we've always felt it, but we've been backed up on it. As a country, we are very bad at realising that we are part of the European Union and therefore we have the same rights as other member states, and we certainly have not been using them. And that has come to light now because the Hub took a trip to Barcelona with a group of barristers and solicitors who in the background have been very concerned about what's going on, and academics, and you'll see some of that in the documentary tonight. But unfortunately, the country we live in, it's kind of like, you know, who'll speak first? Who'll, you know, nobody wants to be the one to put their hand up in the professions and say, stop, this is all wrong. But I think slowly that's starting to unravel because people are seeing that this affects everybody, even if you're not in mortgage difficulties. What's happening in the country is very sinister. You could lose your home over the slightest thing nowadays. Judgment mortgages can be got against you by debt collecting agencies, basically. Missing a payment or two, not paying a hospital bill, all this kind of stuff. It's frightening the way we're becoming. We're becoming just a country that collect money from any way you can. And in my view, the courts are aiding it, you know.
Martina, we do know, and I mean anybody who has listened to news bulletins or read papers or gone on websites,
yeah.
There was us, Portugal, Spain, to a lesser degree Italy, although Italy is starting to come to the boil now in a big way. This situation in relation to banks going in, repossessing houses, repossessing properties, has this been happening in other European countries, or is this unique to Ireland?
No, in actual fact, this has been happening in other countries. Now, in a positive light, I have to say that, you know, we have an awful lot of repossessions, but we do not have an awful lot of evictions, thank God. And we think that's down to legislation. I don't think that legislation actually facilitates physical repossessions or evictions from family homes. But that's constitutional law, and it's another argument. But, you know, the fear, the horror, the sheer terror that goes on behind that is really where we come in at the Hub. Over the weekend, we got very sad news about a couple we had been dealing with. They had come to the Hub about, I'd say, 3 months ago. And, you know, the man himself, the only way I could describe him was he was like a zombie. He was just completely removed. And he, somebody had met him, and I won't say the part of the country where they're from, but somebody had met him in the street and actually stopped him and said, "Are you all right? Come on and have a cup of coffee." And got to the nub of this man had had a business in the good times. You know, just a very hard-working, dedicated, youngish man, early 40s. And the crash came, and suddenly the bills start coming in, and the bank wanted everything. They found out, the person who took him for the coffee found out he had a letter from the sheriff to evict him and his 5 children. So thank God they came to see us, and long story short, brought him to the court, got it. He couldn't even vocalise what he was trying to say in the court. And the master of the High Court, who you might have read of in the papers, was very good, gave him a chance to, you know, try and explain. Long story short, brought them back to the Hub office. The lady was sweating. She was suffering from severe anxiety. We had to sit her down. We were actually going to call an ambulance, but they didn't want that. She said she suffered from severe anxiety. And why wouldn't she? 5 young children. Anyhow, where I'm getting to is, unfortunately, we got news yesterday that she suffered a massive heart attack, fatally, the other night. And this is just typical of the...
And this is not unique. This is happening all over the
absolutely.
Country. Martina, quickly before you go, have you had... I know you had a good bit of success in 2016. Any more successes in the... on the way?
We have loads of success. We are going to start what is called empowering people. We're going to set up a new strategy in the Hub where we're going to kind of have, we're very bad at complaining, and we want to start making the agencies,
I think,
we should
that goes
never
way
have
back
let
in our
that
history
happen. No, but we want to start making, we want to start, you know, saying to people, start complaining. There is protective agencies out there, use them, make them earn their money, and use your European rights.
And quickly, Martina, before you go, anybody listening who is in trouble, how do they contact you?
Well, the Hub on Facebook is our page, or you can telephone us at the Hub. I would recommend going to the Hub Facebook webpage, like it, and start to get familiar with what's going on. And if you find yourself in that position, it will give you all our details. And please do not hesitate to contact us. We are totally free. We never charge. And just to say, if anybody ever charges in our name, it's not the Hub Ireland. We'll support and help you whatever way we can, and that's a personal promise.
And the phone number, Martina?
The phone number. Hold on 1 second, you are going to kill me now. I should know it off by heart.
Yes. Just you're answering it often enough.
I know. It's the memory is getting worse
indeed.
As the age gets older.
Here it comes, folks.
I'm so sorry. Hold on 1 second there. Wait till you see. I won't be able to find the blooming thing now. That's just awful.
Don't worry. We'll get it for you.
No, it's gone. I haven't got it there.
I know it.
I can see it in my head. Hold on.
We'll just bring it to you.
No, hold on. Here, I have it. God, that's just dreadful now. The lads will absolutely kill me. How did I forget that? Where is it? Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
I really
this am. Just proves that it's live radio, folks.
Now, sorry, at last. The phone number is 01 8, and the next time I come here, I will know that off by heart, Tony.
There'll be no need to. We'll have it here. There you go, folks. If you are in trouble and you need help, the Hub is the place to go. Undoubtedly doing great work for people in financial distress.
Can I just say one more thing? There's a fantastic website. If you go onto the page, you'll find the website too. Templates, all sorts of stuff there. It really is fantastic information.
Yes, indeed. And just go the Hub. Just Google the Hub. And
the Hub Ireland. The Hub/Ireland.
It'll give you everything you want. Or failing that, just finger the phone and contact them on 01 534 9118. See, I knew the number, but I was writing it down. Martina Doyle from the Hub, thank you so much for coming into us today.
Thank you.
Thanks, Martina.
Bye.
Bye bye.